If you know right now that if you put a computer in front of you, the enemy will begin to tempt you to go to pornography, then do not present yourself before a computer until you know that you have dealt with the root of that issue and you will not be tempted. If you know that if you go to a party and other people are drinking, that you will take one and then another one and then another one, then do not go to the party. Do not present your body to sin. If you know that if you go on a date and things are getting too heated up, then do not go on a date alone and present your body to be able to sin. Don't, because you're getting this kind of teaching, think it's not my fault. It is your fault if you choose to present your body in a way to sin. It's your fault if you get if you go and get a movie, if you look at, do you understand what I'm saying? You have to walk away from sin and in righteousness. You will be tempted your entire life. Jesus was tempted without sin. You will be tempted. Why? Because you're in a flesh body. Because Satan's going to try to trigger your eyes, your ears, all these things. And that's where you have to make a purposeful choice not to come against God. You have to make that purposeful choice. You have to make that choice. I mean, that part's true. But as you grow in God and learn of God and you're hanging out with God and you're fellowshipping with God and you give yourself to God, all those things become something you don't, first of all, you don't want it, and then you're free enough to say no to it, and then it's not a temptation. The only reason sin is a temptation to you is because there's still a need being met there that you haven't taken to Christ. There's still something being fulfilled there that you haven't gone after the root issue. And when you dig it up, it's gone. When you dig it up, it's gone. So there is a journey in this. There is a walking this out. There is a making the right decisions. There is the Word of God to help us do that. Because he says it right here. Do not present yourself to the enemy for sin. For your sin shall not lord it over you, because you're not under the law, but you're under grace. Okay, All right, ready? Condemnation is under the law. Condemnation says, you did this, and you did not do this, and you did not do this, and you did not do this, therefore you are bad. The mind of the flesh is under the law. What does that mean? It means you are trying in your own strength to do things that are right, because your identity is in what you do. I think I can do this right. I could probably do this right. You don't get it. You don't even get it. Jesus died because you can't do it right. Jesus died because you can't quit yelling or thinking bad thoughts, or you can't do any of that except by grace. Here's the difficult part. Grace is supernatural. Grace is something you can't go into Walmart and say, excuse me, what row is Grace on? You know, I'd like to purchase some. Do you care? Oh, I'm going to Sam's Club so I can get in bulk. You know, could you just put that on my charge card and ship it to me each month? You know, I need it. I definitely need it by the end of the month for next month. No. Everybody's like, gosh, that would be nice. That's only because you still like to do things under the law. All right. Let me try to explain this. The law is God telling you what is evil and what is bad that you would have never, ever known or thought about had not Adam disobeyed God and wanted to know evil from good. All right. When Adam was created in the garden, he didn't even know evil from holy because it wasn't in his frame of reference. It's kind of like probably an ant. I don't think an ant, I'm not talking about an aunt. I'm talking like the bug. aunt, aunt, depending where you're living. Tomato, tomato. Okay, an aunt. Now, I'm not sure how they're geared, but looking at an aunt, it probably doesn't sit there and think, is this bad or is this good? Is this bad or is this? It just exists. Adam just existed to please God and to enjoy God. It's out of our frame of reference because it was so peaceful. And all he was told, because he had to have free will, because God made him in the image of God, so he had to have free will, so he said, look, as long as you can do anything in this garden, you have dominion over the animals, there's plants, there's things to eat, there's all kinds of things, nothing can hurt you, everything's great. But you see that tree? If you eat of that tree, that's the tree of the knowledge of what is good and what is evil. The knowledge of the tree of good, the knowledge of the tree of evil. If you eat of that tree, you will then have to begin to discern everything for yourself. See, we don't even know how awesome heaven's going to be when that tree's not there. So when he ate of the tree, it wasn't, he disobeyed God, but it's he disobeyed God to be the judge, to make the decisions, to decide, to be the judge. He really ate of the tree to be the judge. I want to decide what is good, and I want to decide what is evil. And then we were condemned because he never really gets to do that. He just had his eyes open to evil. And then he could see how he was evil, and he covered himself. And then he could see how he was doing things wrong. And that was it. We've all been being restored ever since. And so God brought the laws. Okay, the laws is the word that, you know, God wrote and gave to Moses and all. The law says, okay, you guys don't know what good and evil is. You're trying to figure it out. So I'm going to tell you what. This is what God says. Let's follow these laws. So they did all the rituals and stuff to follow the laws until Christ would come, okay? And it was hard, and they were constantly messing up, and there was no joy, and that wasn't this great relationship with God. I mean, he was in some of history there, but it wasn't like it is. Now, Jesus Christ came and said, okay, I am not going to cause them to live trying to follow my rules anymore because they know they can't do it. What fun is it? It's not about relationship. It's about rules. It just makes you know when you're messing up. Rules just make you know when you're messing up. It's like, can't do this, can't do this, can't do that, can't do this. So the whole idea of rules or the law was to show you that you needed a Savior. It was to wear you out trying. But if you at least tried and you did the right rituals, then when Jesus Christ died, he went down and rescued those people. Because they knew how hard it was to do the rules. Now, Jesus comes, dies for our sins, everything, and he takes away the rules. You cannot get to God by following the rules. Now he said, okay, it's impossible to do the rules. You're all going to fail. You're all going to be condemned. It's impossible. But here's the surprise. I'm sending my spirit, my very own spirit, into you. And he knows how to teach you everything you need to know. Do you get it? It's not something you do with the flesh of the mind, the mind of the flesh. The mind of the flesh can't do it, but in the spirit. So all we have to do is surrender and enjoy God and do what he shows us when he shows us without condemnation. It's spiritual, for real. All right, I know we're going to get to just a few of this. Okay. So, verse 6 real quick. Do you not know that to whom you present yourself as slaves for obedience, you are slaves to whom you obey, whether sin to death or obedience to Christ? But thanks be to God that you were slaves of sin, that you were slaves of sin, but you obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine which you had, but now you've been set free from sin, and you are now enslaved to righteousness. All right, verse 21. Therefore, what fruit did you have then in the things over which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin, having been enslaved to God, you have your fruit unto sanctification, and the end of it's everlasting life. Sanctification is getting rid of the things that the Holy Spirit shows you to get rid of by His Spirit. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life in Christ. All right, now, I'm not going to keep going. You need to go read all this and read all of this, because it's just too much to handle tonight. I just want to get to this one part about condemnation. All right, let's go down to, in verse Romans 7, Paul is like back and forth. He goes, I want to serve God, but I can't. I'm back and forth. He is talking about himself before he was saved. He is talking about a Jewish person trying to please God before they're saved. And he says, I really, really wanted to please God, but no matter how hard I tried, I'd sin. He's not giving Christians an excuse to sin. That's what people read this verse, what it means. He's given this talk to the Jews, by the way. This whole talk is him telling the Jews, here's how things have changed. Before we tried to follow the laws, before we had to do rituals, we had to kill animals, we had to have sacrifices, everything we did pointed to Jesus. We don't live there anymore. We don't do it anymore. It didn't work. But now, and he's saying, no matter how much we tried, it didn't work. And then in Romans 8, so he goes, I thank God, so go on to 24, Romans 7, 24. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself with the mind truly serve the law of God, and with the flesh the law of sin. I tried to serve his laws, but my body would sin. He goes, but now there is no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation. If you're in Christ Jesus, the devil can't talk to you and tell you how bad you are. If you're in Christ Jesus, the law is gone. It's not about following rules. It's about obeying God. It's about doing what he wants. It's about letting him be in charge. Therefore, now, there is no condemnation in those in Christ Jesus. Now listen to this. Who do not walk according to flesh, but according to the Spirit. There will be condemnation if you're living like the world. If you're not trying to walk in the things of God, if you're not asking the Holy Spirit to be real, you will still live in condemnation. And you can change that tonight by completely saying, I am going to walk in the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, Jesus set me free from the law of sin and death. For the law being powerless is in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent, because the flesh was so strong. That's what this is saying. God, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and concerning sin, condemned sin in the flesh, so that in the righteous demand of the law might be fulfilled in us, those not walking according to flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the ones that are according to flesh, they mind the things of the flesh. And the ones according to the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. So I want you to see this. There is a growing up in here. There is a saying, okay, God, I repent of living for the flesh. I repent of trying to just live like the world and say I was a Christian. I repent of that. This is a whole new world. This is a whole new life. And I repent of that. And Holy Spirit, be my friend. Holy Spirit, teach me, show me. I don't even know where this is going to go, but I just want you. I don't want to be like the world anymore. I don't want to just be called a Christian, but living in the flesh. Okay? When you get to that point, then you'll have, for the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. If you don't have peace, if you don't love your life, it's because you're living in the mind of the flesh. We want to get rid of that. It says the mind of the flesh is an enemy towards God. Your mind, what the condemnation, what the enemy puts in there, it's always going to be questioning God, against God, wondering if God's real, being mad at God, being bitter. You just open the way for the devil to torment you, to be honest with you. You've got to get rid of the mind of the flesh. It says the mind of the flesh is not subjected to the law of God, and neither can it be. Those being in the flesh are not able to please God. Now, some of you say, why am I in the flesh? Some of you with condemnation, you got the thing already talking. You know you've been in church for years. You really love God. You've changed. You've prayed for people. You're not living a worldly life. Quit letting the devil tell you you're in the flesh. if you haven't been living for God, then start living for God today and don't let the devil tell you you're in the flesh anymore. In the flesh doesn't mean you don't get to go to the beach. In the flesh doesn't mean you don't get to eat ice cream. In the flesh doesn't mean, it means in the flesh means you're living for you and you're doing it your way and you really don't care about God. Now here's what it says. This is what the Bible says living in the Spirit is. So listen to this. Okay. The mind of the flesh is an enemy towards God, for it's not subjected to the law of God, neither can it be. And those being in the flesh are not able to please God. But you are not in the flesh, but you are in the Spirit. Why? How do you know? Because the Spirit of God dwells in you. Are you born again of the Spirit of God? Yes or no? Okay, if you're born again of the Spirit of God, then you're not in the mind of the flesh. We got to get that thing out because some of you haven't caught on and you're getting it tonight. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't have to be condemned anymore unless you're purposely, absolutely not wanting to live for God. But if the Spirit of God is in you, you are not in flesh, but in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone has not the Spirit of Christ, this one is not his. If you belong to Christ, sell out tonight and belong to Christ and get rid of the mind of the flesh. You will be miserable trying to serve two gods. The Bible says you can't do it. You'll end up hating one and loving the other. So God's not going to make an exception. That's how it is. It's either God or not God. Now look at 10. If Christ is in you, then your body is indeed dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life is in you because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of the one having raised Jesus from the dead dwells inside of you, the one having raised this Christ from the dead will also make your body, your mortal body, live through the indwelling of his Spirit in you. In other words, there's even going to be life in you. There's going to be health in you. There's going to be life flowing through you because God lives in you and he is life. He goes, so then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to flesh, you're going to die. But if by the Spirit, okay, and only by the Spirit can you do this stuff. You can't do it intellectually. You can't do it by your actions. You can't do it to try to be good enough. You can't do it. Michael smoked and smoked and smoked, and he tried to quit and tried to quit, tried to quit. I preached this message or something close to it a few months ago, and he got it. It was like, I don't have to quit smoking. I just have to give it to God, and he will take away my desire to smoke. And like that, he quit smoking. So he struggled.